Welcome to the Confluence Investment Management Asset Allocation Biweekly Report for November 3rd, 2025. I'm Phil Adler. Consumer debt levels are heading higher. Confluence Associate Market Strategist and Certified Business Economist Thomas Wash joins us today to discuss if this trend threatens to derail the economy and infect the markets. Thomas, the title of your report this week is When the Financial System Finds a Cockroach. The title refers to a recent statement by J.P. Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon, who said there could be credit risks in the economy and that, quote, when you see one cockroach, there are probably more. Dimon made the statement as the bank announced it would take a big write-off in the third quarter related to the bankruptcy of a subprime auto lender. And the market seemed rattled by this, at least for a day. Do you think we may see more of these subprime lenders going under, and this is a sign of real distress in the economy?
I think you've pinpointed the core of the issue. This problem has been brewing for a while now, starting with the surprising failure of the auto lender Tricolor, which actually held a decent credit rating back in September. The fear is that this is not an isolated incident. In fact, if other consumer lenders, especially in the opaque private credit space, are sitting on hidden losses, the banks that funded them could face significant write-downs. So, to be more concise, yes, we are seeing clear signs of distress in this specific market segment. The critical question, though, is one we're watching closely, is how contained these issues will remain.
Thomas, have lenders helped create this situation with lenient underwriting standards?
Absolutely. This drive for market share and loan volume has been a primary catalyst. We've seen standards loosen across the board, but especially in the explosive growth of buy now, pay later, and other fintech lending. In these areas, the speed of approval has often come at the expense of rigorous underwriting. This behavior directly created the expanded pool of potentially risky debt that is now generating the delinquencies we're discussing today.
And how about the rise of non-bank consumer lending? Has this caused a greater debt problem?
Well, I'll say that it definitely amplified it. The mechanism isn't just about accessibility, but also behavioral finance. Non-bank institutions, particularly buy now, pay later firms, have not only expanded the total credit supply, but also simplified borrowing to a point where the perceived risk is lowered. By breaking down costs into transparent, fractionalized payments, they've made consumers more comfortable financing purchases they might otherwise avoid, thereby layering one more debt atop what we just discussed.
Well, Thomas, it's sobering to see how all this appears to be connected. Large banks are lending to non-bank financial institutions. Many of those are originating mortgages. And meanwhile, the bank regulatory climate seems to be loosening. So maybe Jamie Dimon has a pretty good point.
I think that's a critical observation. It's all connected. The linkages between large banks, non-bank lenders, and a shifting regulatory landscapes create a potential blind spot. And I believe Jamie Dimon's caution is well-founded. Now, the risk is that bad loans are building in less transparent parts of the system. However, perspective is crucial. While we see stress, the exposure to subprime debt is significantly lower than in 2008. For instance, Moody notes it's about 15% of household debt today versus 28% then. So it's a risk that demands vigilance, but not yet a systemic threat.
Well, let's explore the numbers a little bit more. Exactly how fast has consumer credit been rising?
Well, the growth has been rapid, but the real story is its uneven distribution. Since the pandemic, credit for lower-income cohorts have surged about 60%, notably higher than the increase for higher-income groups. This tells us that the expansion isn't uniform, and it's precisely why we're now seeing delinquencies and defaults we've discussed earlier.
And what's the latest on the number of consumer loan defaults?
So we are now seeing a significant uptick, which confirms that dynamic. Consumer defaults, particularly in credit cards, have risen to 12%, alarmingly close to the peak at the Great Financial Crisis. What's telling is that this is happening as lenders pull back on new subprime credit. Now, this suggests that the distress is emerging from the existing pool of borrowers, the very group that benefited from the rapid credit expansion.
Thomas, how has the growing debt burden impacted consumption?
So far, throughout these last 5 years or so, Consumption has been remarkably resilient, consistently defying predictions of a pullback. Now, that resilience is the primary support for the economy right now, but it's also the key variable we're watching for any signs of fatigue, especially given the debt pressures on certain segments of the population.
What's an explanation for the continuing high level of consumption?
You know, I think it's a combination of two factors. The primary driver is the strong labor market, which has given households real spending power. However, a secondary and crucial factor has been the expansion of consumer credit. We're now seeing spending rise faster than income, which has drawn down the savings rate. This indicates that borrowing has become a key component in sustaining the consumption levels we see today.
Thomas, are we seeing a story of two economies in the United States with the lower income segment experiencing real pain, while the higher income boosts the consumer economy and by the way, the stock market as well?
Yes, you know, that's precisely the dynamic. And it explains the puzzling disconnect between the strong economic data and persistently low consumer sentiment. Lower income households are feeling the direct pressure from the inflation and higher debt servicing costs. Meanwhile, higher income households who drive significant wealth from financial assets have been buoyed by the strong equity market. This wealth effect has continued to fuel their spending, creating a two-tiered consumer economy.
And do you think the momentum of the economy can be effectively maintained as higher income households continue to flourish?
I think in the short term, yes, but with an important caveat. You know, the top 20% of households account for nearly half of all consumer spending, making them a very powerful engine. Their continued financial health provides a buffer. However, this also introduces a point of fragility. Relying so heavily on one segment makes the economy's momentum more vulnerable to any shock that affects their confidence or wealth, such as a significant market correction.
Are you confident that the jobs market will continue to hold up, even as we read about corporate layoffs and the potential impact of AI?
You know, I think that's a critical question for that very reason. While we're monitoring layoffs and AI, the current data suggests a labor market that's cooling but not cracking. Hiring has slowed, but we haven't seen a widespread surge in layoffs. The key to sustained stability will be clarity on trade and how businesses integrate AI to enhance productivity. Once that clarity emerges, it should renew the business confidence needed to support the healthy job market that underpins our entire discussion.
So I guess the advice for investors is when you read of the next subprime lender going under, you should look at the bigger picture, which continues to be bullish.
You know, I think that's an excellent summary. You know, our view is that while stress at individual lenders is a real risk, it's not yet a systemic threat. The broader picture, characterized by that resilient labor market and solid corporate earnings, remains supportive. Therefore, we remain broadly optimistic that the market has the underlying strength to continue its performance, even with the ongoing concerns in specific credit segments.
Thank you, Thomas. The title of this week's report is When the Financial System Finds a Cockroach. And you can find a link to the written report on the Confluence webpage, confluenceinvestment.com. Our discussion today is based upon sources and data believed to be accurate and reliable. Opinions and forward-looking statements expressed are subject to change without notice. This information does not constitute a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any security. Our audio engineer is Dane Stoll. I'm Phil Adler.